Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Introduce myself. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Angel Maldonado, serve as the lead pastor here. And I'm joined by my wonderful co-host for today, Brianna Dorellis, who is our volunteer engagement director. And she's joined us. Give her a round of applause. Give her a round of applause. Yes. So who do we have here? All right. We're running deep. Now, we have the HBCUs in the house. I see Tuskegee and Spelman. We have Morehouse here today? Okay, yeah. And we got local, we got Georgia, Kennesaw, and we got Birch Elementary. Okay, we got some elementary schools. Yes, Hampton, Marshall. Ooh, Marshall had a big win yesterday against Notre Dame. Clark Atlanta. You know, I'm very happy to be able to wear this today. I am. I graduated from Florida State University back many moons ago, and not only did I get to find Jesus there, but I also got to find my wife. Amen for that. Yes, yes, yes. And we had a big win last Sunday, and I know we have a number of LSU fans here in the house. I saw a jersey around here, so we still got love for you. It's okay, but we're back, baby. That's all I'm going to say. We're back. Bree, who are you repping?
So I am repping the real GSU.
What is
Georgia Southern University. Okay, Aja, I see you. I see you, Chris. Repping the real GSU. I don't know how you can be real if you came after us.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
But tell them that.
You know. I did get my master's at Georgia State University. So.
So she's GSU through and through. Before you get salty.
Right.
She's GSU through and through. Matthew Mercado here, who is a freshman at Georgia State University and the co-founder of Fight Club. That just sounds cool, right? He's going to tell you all about Fight Club. We have Demetria Walker here, pre-med student at Georgia State, Fulbright scholar, a powerhouse. She's going to share some great stuff. Yes, yes, yes. Richard Stewart, who today is repping Georgia Tech. He is the assistant director of sports medicine for the men's basketball team at Georgia Tech. He works with other teams as well. And we are excited to hear from him. And Jordan Edwards, our Spelmanite, who was once the valedictorian of Spelman, went to Emory Law, and now is at Alston & Byrd Law Firm here in Atlanta that actually is nationwide.
International.
We international. All right, so let's go to the next slide because this is a very important question I'm going to ask for you, from you. If you can give your high school graduate self advice in three words or less, what would it be? All right, three words or less. If that's all God gave you, said you could go back in time and give yourself when you graduated high school, three words or less, what would it be? Stay focused. Keep your scholarship. That's big time right there. Don't take out loans. Okay, we got finances. All right. Stay focused on academics. Pick a major. Let's slide through these to the bottom. Leave her alone. Not him.
That's the one.
What else we got? What do you see up there, Bree?
Oh, I see serve the Lord. Amen. Trust God always.
Let's keep sliding through those.
Pray. Listen, pray. Just pray.
No weed.
Amen.
But it's legal some places. But
that's a different.
That's a different thing.
No, that's another thing.
That's definitely one. For me,
stay sober.
See, that's, you know, I was gonna say, don't get arrested, but that's y'all judging me like that? We all have a past, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't always a pastor. The Lord redeemed me too. What would you tell your high school graduate self?
Number one, it gets better. And
it gets
two,
better.
Don't date him.
Because he has something better for you.
Because he has something.
He got some. Come on now. I see you. Come on, Chris.
He has something better. Amen.
It's, you know, college is such an important time. We're going to transition now to talking to our panelists, but college is such an important time. Like I said, I became a Christian in college. I did everything that I wanted to do personally in my life that was worldly, living a lifestyle that just did not please God. You can think about the college lifestyle, drugs, sex, and alcohol, you know. I did everything that I wanted to do, and I was so empty. And I was about to graduate college, and I was like, God, what do you have for me now? And I started seeking God, and he found me. And he used a beautiful, smart young lady by the name of Christina to help reel me in. God knew what I needed, right? And through that process, I was introduced to some brothers, young men in college that knew their Bibles and were able to help me come out of really what was a toxic and destructive lifestyle that brought me a lot of shame. It brought me a lot of guilt, and I had a lot of regrets even as a 20-year-old college student. And that's why I needed redemption in my life. And I'm hoping that through these stories today that you'll be able to connect with us here on stage and know that God has a plan for you as well.
Amen, amen. So let's start with you, Jordan. We know that God pursues us all of our lives, but where were you when you met God, and what's your testimony?
All right, well, so I guess a little bit about me. I grew up in a tight-knit family. We were raised to love God and love his word, and so I was kind of the good girl through and through, did what I was supposed to do in school, generally stayed away from the boys and all that.
Generally.
Generally. But I also, you know, kind of thinking about just being in my word, I was very good at reading it, but just in terms of, like, actually doing what it said, you know, I was not around, like, young people to have that visual of, like, this is how you live it out. And so I think it's difficult to do that when you are thinking through, this is what I want to do with my life, and I have kind of my plans for what I want to do, and that's just kind of how I've always been. I'm very much a planner. Like, I'm thinking 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead, and I just kind of set in my mind, like, 17, I guess I was about 17, that I was going to go to Spelman, and it was funny because kind of everyone around me had a different school in mind for me. From, like, my mom had a different school, my dad had a different school, my college counselor had a different school, but I was like, no, I'm going to Spelman. And now I will tell you, it's one of the best decisions that I've ever made. I'm so glad that I went to Spelman. But being a freshman, my first semester, I wasn't so sure. And that was the point where God had to kind of humble me a little bit, because I'm thinking, man, you know, I was super homesick. I think I went home like once a month that first semester because I was just like trying to find my footing. And, you know, being the planner, all of a sudden having to think, like, what if this was not a good plan? Like, what if I messed this up? This is a really big decision with college, and what if I didn't make the right decision? And so that's kind of where I was, just spiritually, that's where my head was. And right at the beginning of spring semester was when I connected with The Path and just met kind of those young people that I hadn't really been around before, who were really striving to live out the scriptures and were teaching me not just through what they were saying, but what they were doing, how to put them into practice. And so I, you know, wanted to follow suit and, you know, was baptized, became a Christian in February 2008, so my freshman year at Spelman, and it's been a wild, wonderful ride ever since. So.
Amen, amen. Thank you for sharing, Jordan. And I have to point out this spiritual legacy here. So your yes at Spelman allowed me and my husband to make Jesus Lord. So her and her husband in 2016 went on the journey with God with us and helped me change my heart and allowed me and my husband to get baptized with Keegan's help and support. So thank you for your yes at Spelman, because years later you allowed me to become a Christian and to make Jesus Lord and to live a life pleasing to God. So thank you so much for that.
We love you guys so much.
I have a quick follow-up question, because you became a Christian as a freshman. Mm-hmm. As a senior, you became valedictorian. For our college students, just briefly, what helped you accomplish that level of success while being spiritual in the process?
So that's a great question. I think for me, like I said, I had kind of grown up in the books and kind of just driven on my own. But when you become a Christian and when your life suddenly belongs to God, it's like he takes over, and the motivation is suddenly so much bigger than just like, I want to do well in school. It's just, I want to honor him. I want to be my best for him. I want to make him look good. And so I don't know that I like set out like, oh, you know, I want to be valedictorian. I just wanted to be my best. And so I think that just came, so practically that looked like, okay, well, if we have church tonight, but I have a paper due, well, either I'm staying up late or, you know, I'm making some kind of arrangements where I'm just pushing through and I'm working it out, because God is first and my schoolwork is part of me living out my commitment to him. And we know that's very biblical. That's the standard that God calls us to. And so I just kind of think about it as God using his own standard of excellence to glorify himself through what I was doing in school. So I'm just grateful.
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you for sharing that. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you're working for the Lord and not for man. That's great. Thank you. Richard, let's hear from you. Let's hear your story and your journey with God. Where were you? How did God meet you? And what happened as a result?
Absolutely. Good morning, church. Good morning. I'd like to first start off that I'm representing Georgia Tech today. I did not go to Georgia Tech for undergrad or grad school. Everybody's repping their schools out there. But Georgia Tech has paid my bills for the last 15 years.
Amen. So, you repping? So,
Georgia Tech's getting repped today. But yeah, so my story starts off kind of similar, probably most of the people sitting down today. You know, I grew up in the church. You know, from the time I could remember, I was in the church on Sundays. You know, I was an alkalite growing up, an usher. You know, I sang on the choir. I did all these things, you know, throughout my
sang in the choir. All right. Something new came out this service. All right. Yeah. Good to know.
Maybe I should have held that in. But yeah. So I did all that growing up, and then once I did that because, you know, that's what my parents, you know, taught me to do. You know, you just respect your parents. They say go to church on Sundays. We're going to go to church on Sundays, you know. I got to the point in my life where I was a teenager and, you know, went off to college. And, you know, I didn't have my parents, you know, sitting there saying, hey, it's Sunday, we need to go to church. So, you know, I didn't really have the motivation or the conviction to go to church. So I really didn't do that much in undergrad, really didn't do that much in grad school. Fast forward to 2007, I ended up getting a job at Georgia Tech. And, you know, I just kind of felt like, you know, I need to start going to church again, you know, start having that conviction. So I would go to church when it was convenient, you know, if I didn't have too much fun the night before on a Saturday night and felt okay, all right, well, let's go to church today. But it really wasn't a strong point in my life. And many of you guys know Dr. Jackson, who was actually one of my team physicians. We first met in 2010 during his fellowship. He ended up leaving and then coming back around 2016, 2017. And through that new rekindled time with Dr. Jackson, he kind of started talking about, hey, you know, Rich, you know, you should come out to our church. We got a church, you know, we'd love for you to come out. We'd love for you to, you know, start, you know, studying the scriptures with some guys in the church. And for me, as an athletic trainer, many of you probably don't know what athletic trainers do, but we work with sports teams 24/7, 365. So we're always working crazy hours. And when Dr. Jackson invited me out to study the scriptures with him, the last thing in my mind was, yeah, I definitely don't feel like doing this right now. It's just going to be a burden on my schedule. There's something more that I got to do. And, you know, going to it, you know, it for me, I realized after a couple of those meetings that, you know, I needed God in my life, but I wasn't seeking God. God was more seeking me at that point. So I studied the scriptures out and realized that this is something that, you know, needs to be important, needs to be a priority in my life. I felt like, you know, being around the gentleman and the group and being in church, and, you know, I felt like God was moving and working through me. So, and that led to me ultimately becoming a disciple in 2019, 4 days before my birthday. Well, got baptized and been using that that moving up forward in my life to help, you know, others within their walks with God as well.
That's great. Thank you for sharing. I think that, you know, what's really cool about your story, you talked a lot about how just the church has helped you and going to church, being around the community. And then it's so inspiring how you've taken the gospel even outside of the four walls, right? And you've taken the gospel back to the team. And share a little bit about, you know, how you're able to do that.
Yeah, so, you know, as disciples, our number one priority is to make more disciples. And no better way to do that than, you know, having a platform like I do. You know, for many that don't know me, I'm a man of few words. I'm not outspoken. I'm very introverted. You know, if anything, I'm an extroverted introvert. But, you know, I felt like at some point, you know, you got to move on from that to get others to where you ultimately, where we want to see people, and that's to be in heaven. So, I've used that platform. We've started a little small group with at Georgia Tech, primarily with our men's basketball team. We've been branching out, having fellowships weekly, and it's been great seeing a couple of our student athletes move on. We've actually had one of our players, Kyle Sturdivant, who's our point guard for the team. He was baptized recently, and just working on trying to create other disciples.
And I was there this past week. It was so inspiring sitting in the players' lounge, watching Richard do his thing, be used by God. And as a younger Christian, to step out on faith like that is very inspiring. Thank you.
Amen. Hey, Demetria. Would love to hear about your story and where God met you and what landed you here now.
Right. Good morning. I first started... You know, I was actually raised in the church. I was raised Catholic, and I went to Catholic middle school, Catholic high school, and when I went to college, I continued, like, attending Catholic church, and I did put church as a priority. I went every Sunday, but I had a very superficial relationship with God, and I knew that, you know, there was something that I needed to do more. I wanted, like, a deeper relationship. And I did start, you know, joining different Bible studies on campus, but I wasn't really committed to anything. And I got invited to a Bible study by a student organization called A Softer Touch, and it was a volunteer student organization, and they had a Bible study with one of the fraternities on campus. And at the Bible study, Jazz and Taylor were there speaking, and they shared their testimony, how they met God, how they got, you know, baptized. They talked about their marriage, and their entire speech was just very impressive and very, you know, motivating. And from that point, I was like, wow, this is really cool. But at the time, I wasn't really big on fellowship, and I remember I was, like, rushing out the door, and it was all over. And before I could leave, Jamil, he, like, stopped me, and he was like, hey, do you want to come out and, you know, join Bible Talk, which is now, I think, Candid Conversations. and they met, you know, Wednesdays, and we met, like, at a Chick-fil-A, and eventually I joined, and it was led by Quay. And, you know, we would talk about the Bible, and, you know, that was great. And eventually, Tiffany, who is now married to Quay, at the time they were just dating, invited me to study the Bible a little bit deeper. And I was a little bit confused. I was like, wait, we're at Bible study now? You mean I have to, like, go study some more? So I eventually said yes, and I started studying of the Bible through, like, a journey series, which is what you do, you know, on your way to getting baptized. You're having a deeper relationship and understanding what it means to be a Christian. And I did that with Taylor and Tiffany and Kendra. And midway through the series, I started learning that, you know, being a Christian means changing your lifestyle. And I was not ready for that. I just wanted, you know, a little bit of Jesus, you know, sprinkle a little bit of that. But I didn't want to, like, change my lifestyle. So I was, back then, I was more of a planner and a scheduler. So I thought, you know, okay, if I want to be a disciple, I just have to go to church, you know, maybe go to Bible study once a week, and that's it. So I eventually stopped going to, you know, study the Bible deeper. I went my own way for like a year, and I felt like the same thing was happening. I was repeating myself. I had a superficial relationship with God, trying to control everything, and eventually I started studying the Bible again in 2018. And, you know, Tiffany reached out to me, and gratefully, Taylor returned as well, Kendra, and we studied the Bible again. And this time, I was, like, ready. I was like, okay, I really want to get baptized. You know, I want to continue this journey series. And April 2019, right before I graduated undergrad, I received news that I would be able to teach abroad in South Korea with the Fulbright Scholarship Program. And so we didn't finish the journey series, and I was very sad we weren't going to finish, but they were also, like, very helpful because they knew I was going abroad, and, you know, we discussed some ways of how I can, like, put God first even while I was living in South Korea, and it really, like, changed what I did when I got there. I immediately found a church, and from there I had fellowship, relationships, and pretty much everything that I didn't quite get to while I was living here in Atlanta. And so 2020 pandemic hit, job ended a little bit early. I moved back to America back in March 2020. And while I was in my quarantine for 2 weeks, I reached out to Tiffany, and she was like, I was like, hey, you know, I'm ready to finish this journey series. And she was very open. She's like, yes, we can get started. And so I started studying the Bible like June 2020, and then I was baptized in November 2020. So I finished it. So that's my testimony.
Finished and you started at the same time, you know, got a new beginning. That is great. Matthew, tell us your story, man. Tell us about how God met you and helped you become who you are today.
Yeah, so great to have, and thank you for having me, guys. I'm what they call a preacher's kid, so I grew up in the church. Yeah, you know it. I got someone else out there. preacher's kid, grew up in the church, grew up really strong and in-depth with the ministry. I was just surrounded by so many spiritual people, and, you know, being in the children's ministry, I always raise my hand up first, answer all the questions, really study those VeggieTales stories, and really just get in-depth there. As I grew up, I mean, again, just trying to navigate my spiritual journey with everything, but being a kid, I really didn't understand really who God was. I knew of God. I believed there was God, but I didn't know who is God and what I believe in, everything with that. I grew up a little bit and got the amazing opportunity, a little plug for the men's retreat that The Path is going to have. Freshman year, I was able to attend there with my dad, and it was a great experience. I was reached out by King Leba and got my boy Chris over there, and those guys really invested in me during that retreat and even beyond that, and asked me to study the scriptures, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. But again, I went there with the wrong intention. I wanted just to please my parents, that I thought this is what I have to do. I thought, man, just because I'm raised up in the church, like, I have to make the decision to make Jesus Lord. We go through the study series, and they asked me, like, hey, what are your thoughts on baptism? And I'm like, yeah, if you guys think I'm ready, like, I'm ready for it. But again, my heart was not in it. They gave me some time, and instead of a little, like, 2 weeks time that they wanted to give me, I just ghosted them completely. I did not talk to Chris, to Keegan, to any of these guys at all. I wanted nothing to do with it. My heart was just so hardened. I was constantly in the cycle of sin, of really just, really what it is. The big thing for me is my pride and being deceitful. I was just stuck in that, you know, having horrible relationships with the people around me, horrible relationships with my family. I was just so stuck in my ways and in my sin. And so as the year continues, you know, sophomore year, for me, at least COVID happened, and the week before that, I break my jaw. So all these things are happening to me, and I'm just like, why? Like, why me? What did I ever do to deserve any of this? And really, I'm grateful for the pandemic, because through that, it really softened my heart. And I know it was a hard time, but I'm really grateful for that time. Heading into senior year in the summer, I'm able to make my way down to Georgia. My sister's doing an internship with another church near here, and she invites me to come for a few weeks. And in that time, I met so many amazing people that had made Jesus Lord of their life. And with that, they just showed me so much love. That the little piece in my life that I was really missing, that I intentionally missed, they showed that to me. They made me feel that. I felt that love, that peace I was missing. Like I was saying earlier, I experienced God through those people. And I'm, again, so grateful for that. As like it was kind of turning in my heart and in my mind, again, I reached out to these guys, to Keegan and to Chris, and I was just like, boys, I'm ready. I'm pretty sure. I know I hit up Jazz too, and I texted someone at like 1 a.m, and I was just, because I was just so pumped up. I was like, I want this to happen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, amen to those guys, and they have really impacted me so much. So I went through the study series for about a week, and on August 1st, I was able to make Jesus Lord of my life.
Amen. So you got baptized going into your senior year in high school.
Yep.
And in that time, you decided that you wanted that fellowship, the relationships, and talk about the Fight Club and that how that came to be.
Yeah, well, if you guys know anything about Delaware, there's nothing there at all. There's nothing. So I really had to seek out that fellowship, that bond I had with these guys that I made over the summer. So with that, me and my boy, a few other my guys, we really spent the summer together and really just invested and sharpened each other's iron. We did not want that to stop. We had people that lived in Georgia, people that lived in North Carolina, me being all the way up north in Delaware. And so with that, we made a group chat. And in that group chat, we were just like, hey, man, how you doing? Just being open with one another. If there was a girl in our life, you know, we'll talk about that, whatever it was. We were just being open about that. It quickly grew from that 7 of us to then 20 of us, and we constantly had to make new group chats because somebody had an Android, and we just couldn't keep the same group chat and keep inviting them.
Story of our lives. Somebody had an Android.
Somebody had an Android. But again, I mean, it's even crazy to think of that, but because of that person having Android, we're able to make a name for what this group was, growing from 7 guys to 20 guys. We made this group chat on GroupMe, and we named it Fight Club after one of our favorite movies, and then added the scripture to that, which is Fight the Good Fight of Faith and Timothy. And man, that was over a year ago, I think in September, and from the 20 guys that we had when we first started the group, we're now at 85 people, spanning from Philly to Florida to Tennessee to everywhere. So it is so amazing that we are able to have this group.
And how old are these guys? How
they go from freshmen in high school all the way to seniors in college. Got all over. We need each other.
Wow. Yeah. And for the record, is there a girl in your life?
There's a girl in my life. She's right there. Terry Sartzenberg. There is a girl in my life.
10 months.
10 months. 10 months.
Cool.
Awesome. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk to the ambitious women in the audience. I want to talk to the mothers in the audience. We have Jordan here, who you are a lawyer, a respected lawyer. I think I saw on LinkedIn, like, you're on a list, who's who, best lawyers. Mm. You are a mom, and you have 2 little ones, and they are 19 months apart. Okay, you are a devoted wife, and I'm thinking of all of these things, all of these hats. That's a lot, sis. That's a lot.
I love you. You're so sweet.
So, what have you had to surrender to God in this season of your life, especially with having all of that going on and we're in a pandemic?
Well, that
is such a good question. I think about it a lot because I think that really the biggest thing is probably fear. I think just any mom, anywhere, you're always thinking about your kids and you want the best for them. I think for moms who are pursuing careers, you're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, am I spending enough time with them? Am I meeting them where I need to? Am I doing all of the things so that when they're old enough to express themselves, they're not like, well, you did this wrong and you didn't spend enough time with me. And so
you're so right. Parents don't want to be the topic of like therapy sessions. That's like right, a great, like, I don't
exactly.
want to, I don't, I feel you.
Like their start, mine are three and they just turned, what, my youngest just turned two. So they're, you know, pretty young, but I just think about that all the time. Like, what are my girls going to say about me? Like, what will they have learned from me? And so just that fear of wanting to do it right. And so I think what helps me just with trying to juggle everything, I think a lot about, I'm going to tell a little story here. My first grade poster contest, it was citywide, and we were supposed to do a like a big poster that expressed in some way what we wanted to be what we when we grew up. And so I won first prize. Mm. I won $200. Mm. Shout out to DC Public Schools. I'm a product. So I drew a picture of me in a purple suit, and I had a baby in one arm, and I had a briefcase in the other.
Wow.
And it, when I think about it, I'm like, I was six. Like, what was I thinking about? Where did that come from? But that's just kind of been the through line ever since. It's just God planted the seeds very early and gave me just that dream and that heart and that desire just to kind of juggle it all. And so when I am just kind of wrestling with the fear, with the guilt, I just think back to that. I think back to just godly order and how, you know, my priority is God and my relationship with Him. And through that, I have a responsibility to live out the calling that He has for my life, and to model that to my girls. And, you know, so in a way, it, you know, it's helping them. And so I try to think about that. Of course, you know, whatever God has called us to is not going to contradict with His word. And so, you know, obviously motherhood is so important and just one of the most important roles I'll ever have. And so, you know, God is not going to call me to something that doesn't allow me to be in there with my kids and to spend the time with them that I want and need to spend. And so there's kind of like the practical piece, which I feel like I'll be hammering out until probably they're in college. But I think I just really try to focus on being super intentional with my time and just kind of scheduling things around them and being as productive as I can during working hours, and then again when they're asleep. So it's a lot, and that's probably a little bit more than what you were asking.
No, I need the practicals. Okay.
But that's just kind of how I try to spin it.
Amen. And I know for you, Ray just finished his PhD program, right? So that was in the mix as well.
Yes.
And thinking about, he was College Bay. Was he College Bay?
He was.
He went to Morehouse?
Yes, he did. Mm.
Okay.
Spellhouse love.
Spellhouse love.
On there.
Look at that. Uh-oh.
So from your sophomore year of meeting all the
make sure y'all connect today, Spellman Morehouse. You never know what can happen, by the way. You know?
All the way up till now, y'all have been through a lot of transitions together.
Yes,
and
we have.
All of us are in seasons of transitions wherever we are in life. So we always talk about transitions in like a negative light, right? Like, oh, I'm going through this. When it comes to your marriage, what has been a gift in the transition?
Ooh. So I think the thing that comes to mind first is really just our partnership. Like, that is my teammate. Like, we are Team Edwards. We get it done. You know, there's just so much going on for both of us. And that's my partner in all of this. All the things that you said about me, I wouldn't be able to do any of that, you know, without Ray and his support and just the partner that he is. And that's just been such an amazing gift, not just to me, but I think also about my daughters and the example that they get to see growing up of just what a supportive partner looks like and how they can, you know, have whatever dreams God puts on their heart, you know, and they'll know what to look for in a partner.
Come on now, come on now.
They see that with their dad. So I think that's such a gift, and I really am grateful for that.
Amen.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Shout out to Dr. Edwards.
He was here with them earlier at the 9 o'clock service. They had their little Spelman t-shirts on, so.
So, Richard, speaking of relationships, you were in a relationship as you were growing in your relationship with God and learning about what Jesus expected from you and in your life. And since then, you and Rachel have been married. But can you tell us about what that was like during that process, how it affected the relationship, how it affected her?
So I'd like to give a shout out to my wife. She's sitting in the audience here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were married August 9th of last year, so we're just over a year into marriage, and
time for newlyweds. Yeah, yes,
newlywed time.
Still on your honeymoon?
Something like that. But all jokes aside, Rachel is an athletic trainer as well, so we're both in the same profession. She works with the women's basketball team at Georgia Tech. I work with the men's basketball team. I never really saw myself getting into a relationship with somebody that I worked with, but Lord works in mysterious ways.
Amen. So,
when we were in our relationship, that's when I was having those, Bible talks with the fellas, and as part of the going over the scriptures, at some point you have to kind of count the costs of what it takes to be a disciple. And one of those things is, having to give up physical intimacy. And, at that time I was going along with everything and Rachel really wasn't. And I remember bringing up that conversation to her at a restaurant one day. It's like, hey, these are the things that I have to do if I want to, take this leap. And one of those things was the physical intimacy. And she looked at me like I had two heads saying, like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean this is something that we need to stop, But as we talked through it, she realized, where my conviction was and, how the Lord was going to utilize me and that I helped grow her strength as well with God. So she ended up having some sit-down discussions with the ladies. And like I said, I was baptized in November 2019, and she was just baptized a couple of weeks after me going through those scriptures as well.
So. Amen.
And just, having God in both of our lives is, not only helped us individually, but helped our marriage as well. Just little things that, could turn sour south quickly, we're able to pray about them or we're able to discuss them and how, the Lord can lead us into the right direction of where we'd like to be in our relationship. So just having that foundation has been wonderful for our marriage, and we're only a year into it, but I feel like it's just going to help us grow stronger as the years go on.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Amen. Demetria, I think you are absolutely like a woman after my own heart when it comes to service, when it comes to community. What I particularly want to think about is, how you have like your church friends like growing up, and then you have like your other friends,
mm-hmm.
and like they really don't mix because you're two different people.
Talk to them. Come on,
okay.
Bree.
So yeah, that was definitely me. What I love about you is you are the same wherever you go. You have a heart for service wherever you go, and you are even co-president of pre-med students making a difference. And I remember when you brought out volunteers in droves for our medical day, and you connected, what you're doing in school for the community work here in the church. And I think that is so beautiful, and it's amazing to see. Why are you so connected to service? Why is that so important to you?
Yes, I would like to just start off saying that I wasn't always like that. I was one of those people that, did the double life thing, but when I did become a disciple, I started to learn more about what it means to be a Christian and be a disciple. And you do have to be the same as you are here in the church, in the community, because the only way people will know about Jesus and God is if, you know, you are playing that role everywhere you go. So that's sort of where it started. And I would say concerning, like, serving, I just find that, you know, we all have different gifts. And when I became a disciple, I wanted to use the gifts that I had in order to figure out ways to, like, contribute and serve with the path. And I love connecting people. I love, you know, volunteered stuff. My first ever leadership position was a volunteer coordinator. And so when I was approached last year about to help out with Medical Day, I was just really, really excited to do that. And I find that when you are able to connect different people, whether it's from church or hobbies or whatever, it gives everyone an opportunity to just learn about Jesus. And I mean, that's what I want to do, be the same here as I am in the community, and that's how you can bring more people into the church.
Amen. I love that, because I think so often, even in our jobs or our careers, we can keep those things separate. We can keep, you know, school separate, our classmates separate, and, you know, really getting to a point where, like, no, Jesus is Lord over all of this.
Yeah.
Jesus works through and in all of this. And so being able to invite people out, sharing your life, I think is so important. And you set such a good example for that. I know, too, you know, you are in a season of singleness, okay? So I asked her, I said, how are you, you know, in this season? And she said, I am single and I am happy. Mm.
Come on
and
now.
And I said, come on, sis, come on. So how are you making Jesus Lord over your relationships, over your dating life? I know that's, you know, that's something for this season and for the season of your life. It can be a lot, you know, to do. So what does that look like for you?
Well, I'll start by just explaining that when I was becoming a disciple, the first time, that was one of my things. That's one of the things that made me hesitant, I will say. I wanted to date like the world, and when I found out, like, oh, you can't do that? Okay, I don't know if I want to do this. And before I did, you know, make that decision, I was also hesitant because I was like, well, if I become a disciple and I can't date like the world, like, I'm going to be single forever. but that is not the truth. There are so many wonderful relationships here in the church, in the path. I've seen so many people become friends, they're dating, now they're married, so many people getting engaged, and it's just really beautiful and hopeful. I do pray for marriage. That is the goal, and I know that everything happens in God's timing. I will say, like, when I do go out on dates, I try to be, you know, very upfront, like, for a second date, just being clear that, you know, I live for God, and Lord is over everything, and that does, you know, include dating life. You know, I am celibate, make that clear. So
make it clear.
It has ran into, you know, sometimes people are like, well, I'm not, and I'm like, okay, well.
Moving right along.
Yes. It's okay. Like, it's really much okay. And you just want to be upfront about that in the beginning before you get, you know, too deep into any type of relationship. And, you know, I'm happy and serving in the church. I'm just, you know, doing whatever the Lord has, you know, on my heart for right now. And I know, like, when the time comes, you know, the time will come.
Amen. Amen. Give it up for our panelists. What an amazing job they have done. Yes. Give it up for my co-host, Brianna Dorellis. And let's thank all of the volunteers that made this service happen today. Thank you all so much. At this time, we're going to transition into our time where we take communion. And communion is an opportunity to remember Jesus. And I think it's important to understand that what you heard here today is because of Jesus and because these people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, have responded to the call of Christ and submitted and surrendered their lives to him. I think about Luke chapter 9 in verse 23 when it says, "Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Thank you all so much for submitting your lives to Jesus, for choosing him over the world and saving yourself in the process, and then helping to save others as well. And I pray that those of us who are thinking about our relationship with God will also see that it's time. It's time as we go into this new fall season, God has given you an opportunity for you to be able to surrender and then be able to see the miracles and the benefits that he has in store for you when we do just that. Let's go ahead and pray for our communion. Father, thank you so much for who you are and how much you love us. Thank you for pursuing us. Even when we're not pursuing you, especially when we weren't pursuing you. Father, thank you so much for all the ways that you make yourself real to us, the way you answer our prayers, the way you bless us. Thank you so much for the blessing of Jesus. Thank you for his death, his burial, and resurrection. We celebrate that right now, Father. And as we reflect on his sacrifice, I pray, God, that you will fill us with gratitude, Lord. A gratitude that's not just something that we feel emotionally, but a gratitude that moves us to action, that moves us to die to ourselves and take up our cross, that moves us to make sacrifices ourselves to grow in our relationship with you. And Father, I pray, God, that that today, this day, will be a milestone in somebody's journey in their relationship with you, Father. God, that they will know you deeper, grow to be more like Jesus because of this day, Father. Please bless us, bless our time of fellowship, and the rest of the time we get to spend here with you and with one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.